Oh, it's that time of the week again. This is the Rebel Room. Taylor Byrne, Case Kiefer, Ray Brewer. Don't listen to a microphone. Get us through your headphones as we learn to use our own equipment here in our podcast area. LasVegasSun.com newsroom. Boy, it's kind of a familiar theme here every week that we get together. Not that I don't like seeing you guys, but us in this room lately just means bad news. And once again, UNLV losers on Saturday, 34-17, 1-4 on the year now. I was in San Diego for the game where your boy, Mr. Kiefer, Donnell Pumphrey, waited not very long to get going with a 71-yard touchdown run on his first carry of the game, finished with a career high tying 167 yards, career high 22 carries, career high 4 touchdowns. You were at UFC, but how much were you trying to follow along considering UNLV's opponent here?
Well, I mean, just every time I looked down, the kid was scoring a touchdown. At least I think it worked out perfectly because it was right before the main card. I think he scored like most of his points in the first half. Oh, yeah, so it was I was really busy, and every time I looked down, he was scoring a touchdown. So that was beautiful. I said we need to add him to the Heisman watch, which neither of you acknowledged.
I did not. Right. I just walked past it. All 4 touchdowns in the first half. The bulk of his carries in the first half, that's when San Diego State basically put the game away. They led, I believe, 28-10 at halftime, and then no points in the third quarter for either side and just kind of bled them dry, essentially. UNLV, it basically played out the way I expected. UNLV barely able to cover, never really felt like they had a legitimate chance to win, and part of that is just their inability to make the simple plays that would help themselves out. And, you know, Blake Decker, first of all, their first drive, settling for a field goal on 4th and 2 at the 5-yard line. Easy to say now, but even at the time, I hated it. Like, you know who you are on defense. You know what you give up. If you're that close, I think you have to go for it. You have to take that early trying to make a statement. You have to take a shot because you're going to give up points, and that's just the fact. Brewer,
I don't disagree with you on that logic, but I could see where going for it wasn't that why they went for it. You have to remember that this was the first Mountain West game. That forget about 1-3 and forget about all those nasty defensive numbers. This is a new season, and you've got that new mentality. And why not take a lead and see if the confidence of being in front changes things maybe for the defense? You know, maybe they come up with a stop, or San Diego State has a turnover, and then all of a sudden UNLV has some momentum. Whereas if they would get stopped there on 4th and 2,
then they got them at the 5-yard line.
I totally get it, but you could mentally be deflated. I'm just playing the psychological game here with the fact that it's 0-0. If you want, and shout out before you talk to the Rebel defense for pitching a third quarter shutout, baby. Yeah,
I'm not going to call Brewer out on this. I'll just plug that if you want to hear us argue about this, listen to our high school show, because just about every week Brewer says something like this, and I just get so frustrated because I am much more always for making the aggressive play call, especially that close, and Brewer's
right,
not.
And
so
especially
I'm not calling
when you,
him out, but I totally disagree.
When you know what your team is and you know that you're very much capable of giving up a 71-yard touchdown run on the next play, which they did, and then they were never really in it again.
You want to talk about confidence deflating?
Yeah,
I mean,
I totally at least on this one, you guys both disagree with me. That's your prerogative. But at least say you see my logic. You see my logic.
I don't know, Ray, I see where you're coming from.
I
think
dude.
Anything you could crunch the numbers or look at, it's the wrong call. Just in general, not even with the added. Not
this
even with
the
added filters
quarter.
That Taylor is talking about. Who cares that it's the first quarter? You're making the wrong call. You're not helping your team win in the long run.
Yes.
You got to get a lead, baby. UNLV was leading.
And what did that end up mattering?
It didn't. I mean, they didn't
so
do
you
the,
need, you need as
they
many,
didn't do their
as many
job
points
the
as possible
rest of the game.
Because Blake Decker's going to throw interception.
I mean, that's
like
the same argument. Never punt then. Just go for it every play.
No, there's a that's lot absolutely
of,
not the –
there's a lot of times where you should not punt.
Yeah, there is – I think coaches punt way too much. That is another thing. But that's absolutely not the same thing. It depends where you are on the field. There's 100 different yards. That's not what you're saying at all. This is all situational.
Each yard is like a snowflake, Ray.
Yeah. What was the score after UNLV made that field goal, Taylor?
3-0, UNLV.
UNLV was ahead. That's all I got to say. Move on to the next topic.
That matters nothing. Maybe if they would have scored, you wouldn't know me, the Stromboli.
Yeah. Let me ask you this question. Minorly shifting gears. UNLV 1-4 to start the season. Are they banged up? Is that could we offer them a lifeline, saying that the reserves aren't that good, they've had key players get injured at key positions, and that part of UNLV's problems are, you know, that they're just thin at certain spots, especially the spots that tackle the other team when they're running to score 6 points?
That's part of it, but Bobby's own doing has made me less likely to give them that leeway because he just keeps screwing around with this freaking injury report. Last week, you know, 30-some names on there. Of the 14 players listed as out, 2 of them played. 5 of the 6 doubtfuls played, and yet they put Devontae Davis as questionable when you and I both had a pretty good idea that he was not going to play. Didn't even dress. When I asked Bobby to his face, has he had surgery, he said, that's all I can say. Going back to his comments about how he's calling Davis week to week. He was wearing a sling walking out of the stadium, so I'm not buying it.
Exactly.
And so Bobby's own actions and that injury report traditionally has meant nothing.
Okay. And in college, and so just to clarify, you don't have to give, because of HIPAA rules, you don't have to give injury reports or updates.
Yeah. And
there's the NFL, you get the accurate report each week on who's questionable, probable, unless you're Bill Belichick.
And that's what I was going to say.
There's some stuff that he legally can't. And so I don't know the rules exactly. It may be that he legally cannot tell me what procedure that, you know, Davis has had. But I am very confident that he's had something and that we will not be seeing him this week.
And I think Bobby is also maybe trying to protect his player a little bit for his pro prospects.
That is a stupid argument, but thank you for bringing it up.
Is that a good – it's stupid, but it's a good point,
it's
though.
It's so dumb because this was brought up after the game too. Who do they think they're hiding anything from? If that's the case, this is the same thing that, like, Anthony Bennett and his people, the whole year with the asthma stuff, and UNLV a little bit was handcuffed because the same thing, they can't comment on certain things that the kid's not commenting on. Who did they think they were hiding that from? If you are a pro prospect, you are getting picked over 100 times. You are not hiding anything. There's no way that people who invest this kind of money in you are not going to be all over this.
So all we know is that the Devontae Davis is out with an arm injury, and that some part of his arm, according to Taylor and I, who are semi-intelligent, you're a little smarter than I am, but we seem to think that he's had some kind of procedure. While we can't confirm that, it looks like that some part of his arm was
covered. All indications are that it's more serious than what they're saying. I think it's possible that we see him at some point this year. I don't know. But I don't know much of anything because they don't talk. They don't offer any help with this. Exactly. And so that is why I'm not going to just give them the benefit of the doubt
on the injuries.
They're a bad team that's made worse by injuries.
And I saw he had to burn a few red shirts on Saturday as well.
Yep. It's great for the future program. Defensively, Hughes. Especially. Yeah, Hughes was the first one.
I liked Michael Hughes Jr. better than Mike Hughes as a name.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
In high school, he was Michael Hughes Jr.
Wait, that Michael Hughes?
PV
broke
Nation.
His red shirt?
Broke his red shirt. He played like
that's
3.
That's the infamous.
But
Michael
how many
Hughes.
Snaps did he play, though, to break that red
that
shirt?
That I don't know. 3.
I'll say this on the last subject. Injuries don't make you lose by 20 points per game. That's probably even generous. They're probably losing by more points per game than that. So I think that can be one minor factor. But
with that said, I'm going to be optimistic here, gents. UNLV at San Jose State Saturday.
Saturday, 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock kick.
ESPN News.
Oh, it's on the ESPN News?
Yep. Nice.
The news.
Is it? Before I talk about that, does it bother anybody at UNLV that Bishop Gorman's on national TV more than they are? Or does it bother?
Probably.
Does that seem odd? The local high school team is on national TV more than the
and
local college
I never
team?
Felt like this before. We'll probably talk about this more on the high school show, but God, I feel like people around town care a lot more about Gorman at this point. I couldn't believe the number of people that were talking about the game Friday. I didn't hear one person mention UNLV at San Diego State.
But that's also a big
game.
Yeah,
I mean, it's 1-2, but still.
Yeah.
I think they should be a little bothered by it, for sure.
the Imagine Dragons, who we talked about on last week's show, at the game.
Okay.
I took a picture with my phone. Not a selfie, just a picture. By the way, Snoop Dogg was at the game.
I know. He's got the – can we go back to the Gorman Dad shirt? Because that's what was hilarious to me. The nothing but a G thing is – I think – to me, it's too on the nose. I think I'm in the minority here. I think most people love it. And,
I liked it.
And I might just – concede the point on that, but Snoop Dogg wearing a Gorman Dad t-shirt is still the best
that's
thing
better,
I've seen.
But nothing but a G thing was even better, because I don't know if you saw the interview where they asked him how they get it, and he said, my wife's making them. I'm all about the money, so I'm selling them out of the trunk.
And by the way, Gorman has valet for games, so he parked like right,
really?
Yeah, right
of
next
course
to
they
the,
do.
Right next to the stadium, so when it rained and everybody was looking for cover, he just went, right
to his car?
Right to his SUV, and literally people were waiting outside to take selfies with him. So it's pouring, and there's 20 people around his car pointing into it.
That's so weird.
And Flavor Flav looks like a janitor sometimes. He's got keys that hang from his pants. Literally 100 keys. Like, what do you need 100 keys for?
He has that chicken place, right?
Well, not anymore.
Yeah, they closed that. Yeah.
They closed down.
But somebody gave him a nice Gorman hoodie, or he bought a real nice Gorman hoodie finally.
All right, we've gone off the rails.
Let's talk about San Jose State. UNLV, believe it or not, still could win 5 games. They've already won 1. San Jose State, New Mexico, Air Force, and who am I forgetting?
Hawaii.
But am I crazy?
And here's your counter to everyone. Air Force just beat Boise State.
UNLV always plays Air Force well. Go ahead.
Hawaii's on the road.
UNLV plays awful on the road. You're right. But who knows?
Especially at Hawaii.
And, yeah, and that's
by
a
that,
whole
that
one.
By that point of the season, Norm Chow will probably be out, and June Jones will be back. Go ahead.
San Jose State, again, I mean, road factor, 2 terrible teams.
Anything could happen when you're sloshing around, and it could be 41-40, and we'll miss an extra point.
It is not going to be 41-40.
Okay,
UNLV cannot score that many points. So, I mean, their biggest concern to me for everything moving forward is just that I don't know how much they can score, and I know how much they're going to give up, which is, you know, minimum 3 touchdowns.
That is a beautiful line.
4-5 is expected.
I think UNLV, and I know about this, recruiting is something I'm decent on. I'd argue I know recruiting better than anybody in this city. I would say that Bobby didn't do himself many favors last recruiting season. You know, first of all, UNLV was limited. They only had 16 spots, right? Then they took the kicker, and the kicker ended up not coming. They had to honor a scholarship. That brings you down to 15. You had some spots you wanted to fill with JC guys. They had 2 JC kids not qualify. Now you're down to 13, right? And, you know, they didn't do a great job recruiting because they knew they had limited spots. Then there was the part of the year in September where they thought they might not be back, and they end up getting Blake Decker, who they probably misevaluated on. And now they got Decker and Sherry, who, in my opinion, are equally bad, 100% equal. I think you get the same thing with both of them. And now you don't have anybody else to play quarterback. And the one kid you've got committed for next year is a 2-stars quarterback who had no offers from anybody. And he's not going to come in right away and play.
Well, he's not coming in. I think they would – well, A, you know, Decker and Sherry's senior season would be, you know, in the conversation. And then, of course, I'm blanking on his name, but the –
the kid from Vermont that went
– the redshirt freshman.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, and I think they like him as kind of the next wave guy. And so whether that comes next season or the year after, I think – that's who they're looking at more.
And there's no way that next wave could come like in 4 days from now?
Probably not.
Okay.
And people calling for Sherry, I don't agree with. I would be intrigued to see them go with the younger guy and just start.
I mean, if I'm Bobby, I'm like, you gave me an extension. I'm going to be here next year anyways, right? Because UNLV's got no money to get rid of me. Let's hit the reset button. Let's bring Skippy in under center, whatever his name is.
Skippy Vermont.
Yeah, and go with the kid and let's see what happens.
God, I wish his name was Skippy Vermont.
Right, get him some.
Jared Leibowitz.
Get him some reps against teams that are winnable and tell Nick Sherry and Blake Decker, thanks for your services. You got your scholarship. Let's prep this kid and get him ready to go, baby.
And I'm interested in that idea.
And I'm not saying this to be mean. I'm just saying Blake Decker is just baffling the bad mistake. The kid's throwing – he leads the nation in interceptions.
Another one of the ones Saturday wasn't his fault. George Nifahu, coughs up an easy catch that bounces right to another guy. But the first one was terrible.
Bro, when you're running bad. That's how it is. I mean, and listen, the difference between last year and this year, it's obvious. Herring saved Bobby's job.
Okay, you're two things with that. One, you're overlooking Cornett, who I think was arguably more important because he just balanced everything out.
You're on fire today.
It's also the one, whether it's injuries or not, I think the offensive line was playing a lot better last year.
I agree.
And the defense was slightly more competent.
The defense was significantly more competent. The Cornett factor, I don't know about significant.
I mean, they were pretty bad last year defensively. Okay. I think offense, all you're saying is correct.
But the Cornett thing, I thought we agreed that if you add up the three-headed monster, that they were comparable to Cornett. It's just Cornett had the breakaway potential, and when he was in the game, people had to honor the UNLV run.
Yes, and numbers, I think I got to go and look again kind of how similar they've been. But Cornett also was just a drive sustainer. Like, that guy could just get first downs when you really needed them. And so instead of having to look to Decker or to, what they mostly do is, like, draws out of this. And they had, like, a third and long in the third quarter, I think, when there's still seemingly something to play for Saturday, and they just call a draw. They just, like, give up because they don't want Decker to put it through the air in his own territory. So that's a problem. That's a give-up play. And so if that's where you're at with your quarterback, then maybe Leibowitz. But to me, going to Sherry doesn't
change anything. Bro, you ever play blackjack before?
I have.
Okay, what happens? The dealer's got a queen of hearts up. You look at your two cards. You got a 10 of spades and a 7 of clubs. What do you got? 17, right?
Yeah.
The dealer's got what?
Well, he's showing 10.
So you think he has what?
20.
What could you do?
I'd take that hit.
Can you?
I do.
Oh, well, I don't want to play with you then.
Definitely not.
It's no, like man. UNLV's got 17 on every hand. There's no way they could win.
Well, yeah, but that's why.
You throw it, you lose. You run, you lose. You stick with Decker, you lose. You that put in Leibowitz, that there are no, you lose.
Look, odds, yeah, sure, but that assumes that you never get it right. There are fours in the deck.
There are, but you know what? The dealer flips open a four, and you know what comes next, baby?
An eight.
No, a five, a six, or a seven, you can't win. You feel with UNLV right now that they got the mother-in-law hand. 17, you can't hit it, but you want to.
Well, this San Jose State game really could be an eight.
I've never heard it rephrased that way. The mother-in-law hand?
That's real common, by the way. Yeah.
I mean, as negative as I am, I think a few weeks ago, Taylor and I kind of said I will reserve judgment because I think they're going to lose these next three games, which sure enough they did. And then I want to see how they play against San Jose State. I think I really just need to see some signs here. And they could, like you said, they could win this game. San Jose State is pretty miserable as well.
They are. There's just, like, nothing that UNLV has shown that gives you the idea that they can, like, build on it and move forward kind of thing. That's the biggest problem as far as projecting forward. But we have talked enough about a bad 1-4 team this week at San Jose State. Next week, next Monday, first practice for UNLV basketball. So we can start turning our attention to the running Rebs a little more as they work in 8 newcomers, 5 freshmen, 5 new starters in the Mountain West. Looking forward, season starts November 14th, I think. So we're about a month and a half away from basketball as football enters the mid-season grind here, and it is an ugly one. For Case, for Ray, I'm Taylor. We'll talk to you next week.